So this morning, we are supposed to be in James chapter 3, hitting what is, in effect, the pinnacle passage in James. And in the midst of us hitting what is really the crux of this book, the launching pad for the rest of the chapters, God opted to have most of us not be here. So, we're going to talk about something else. Not that God's sovereign plan and his ability to control and work in things is somehow missing today. Not that he chose to have this group here for some other reason, but we're not going to intentionally move forward with a very critical idea in James until there's more of us here. So today, we are going to talk about a passage out of Luke chapter 6. It's verses 43 to 46, but before we get into that, let's talk about drinks. Not drinking, but drinks, right? So, I've got here my coffee cup, right? And if I were to take my coffee cup and I were to take a big drink of it, there's nothing in it. I intended to have some coffee in it before I came up here, but I drank it all while I was sitting back there. And I was like, well, that's a waste. I have none left. And I didn't go out to fill it up. But if I were to take a big drink of my coffee cup, what would I get? Coffee, right? I mean, this is not rocket science. This is really, really straightforward. I would not take a drink of my coffee cup expecting to get lemonade. At least I wouldn't. Maybe some of you would put lemonade in your coffee cup. But I don't. I put coffee in my coffee cup. And when I take a drink out of my coffee cup, I expect to get coffee because that's what's inside my coffee cup. There have been times where I've grabbed my drink of lemonade and I've taken a big drink of it and I've almost spit it out because it was Mountain Dew. It was Allison's. I don't even dislike Mountain Dew. But if you're expecting lemonade and you get Mountain Dew, something is amiss, right? Because what I expected to be on the inside of the lemonade cup was not what was on the inside of the lemonade cup. So what was inside being Mountain Dew is all that came out. It's all that could come out. Again, not rocket science. This is incredibly straightforward. Luke chapter 6, beginning of verse 43. You're going to notice in most of your Bibles that they end this whole pericope, this section of the text, in verse 45. And verse 46 is in the new section of the text, but that makes no sense to me. I don't understand why they did that other than maybe tradition, but it makes no sense. Here is what it says, beginning in verse 43. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? We really could continue all the way through the end of this chapter. The idea is going to hold true. The concept is going to stay the same. What is inside of you will come out. That is scary. That is also comforting. That is also terrifying. That is also, well, both ends of the spectrum, right? It will give you relief and comfort and peace. It will also terrify you because we all know what's inside of us sometimes versus what's inside of us other times. We know what resides within us, both the brokenness of our own depravity, our own evil nature, and the wholeness of our knowing Christ. And that's where we stand. We stand in a place beginning with the understanding that we are broken on the inside, yet the Holy Spirit is there. And so now the question becomes, what really drives us forward? What comes out of us? What does that show? See, the whole James passage got me thinking about this passage, because the two types of wisdom in James 3 will show themselves through what you do, which led me to this passage, which is the passage we're going to talk about for the day, but the idea is still there. What is inside of you will present itself to the people around you. Sometimes we try to fool ourselves into thinking that that's not true. Sometimes we try to act like we can have this evil over here that is always part of our lives, thoughts, words, actions, motives, whatever it is. We think that we can have that compartmentalized and that it will never present itself to people. But it does not work like that. And that doesn't mean that every sin you ever commit, every problem you ever have, is going to be brought into light here on earth. But it does mean that those things are what's going to drive you forward. Now keep in mind, we will all of us, each of us, every single person stand before Christ, before God, and be judged for what we've done. And in that moment, every thought, every motive, every word, every action, everything you've ever done will be brought totally into the light. Now, for those of us who know Christ, there's not condemnation in that, but it will be made known. There won't be shame in that, because Christ has paid for us. But everything you've done will be made known. Both the good and the evil. Even the evil that nobody knows was evil. Even the evil that's only out of your motive trying to make something happen will be brought to light. But friends, what we need to realize is that in this passage, Jesus points out something totally, totally different to us. And what he points out is not just that our wisdom will show itself, not just that we will be judged for who we are and for what we've done, but that it comes out of the core of who we are. When there is evil in us, it is because we are evil. When there is good that comes out of us, it's because God has made us good, not in on who we are, not because of ourselves, not of our own strength, our own nature, our own anything, but because of the Holy Spirit inside of us. And so what we have is we have the idea that no good tree bears bad fruit. And we're going to have to figure out what that means. We have the idea that no bad tree bears good fruit. So the good can't have bad and the bad can't have good, for each tree is known by its own fruit. Now, the first whole half of that, the first verse, really is confusing. It really is confusing. No good tree bears bad fruit, but I'm a believer in Jesus, and there's bad fruit sometimes. Nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. I know people who don't believe in Jesus at all who still do good things. So how can a good tree not have any bad fruit and a bad tree not have any good fruit if I see these bad people do good things? And I know me as a follower of Jesus still does bad things. How does that work? The second part of that sentence answers the question for us. Or at least it should answer the question for us. Because it says each tree is known by its own fruit. Maybe that doesn't feel like it answers the question for you. It really does answer the problem, because what it's saying is, no matter what kind of apples you've got on an apple tree, you've got apples. no apple tree is ever going to produce olives. That would just be weird. And inside our heads, we all know that an apple tree makes apples. That an olive tree makes olives. I still don't know why God made those. Just so we are all clear. Olives are my prototypical bad fruit example. People like them, I understand. No, I don't. People like them, I know that is true. I do not understand why they like them. So, no good tree makes olives. That's just what it is. If you are a good tree, you are not an olive tree. That is the example. If you're a bad tree, all you make is olives, okay? That's the idea. It's not that no good tree has bad apples. It's not even that all bad trees have bad olives. That seems oxymoronic to me as far as the example goes. But a bad tree can produce fruit, right? Even fruit that people would want, fruit that looks good. And a good tree can have bad apples, but it's only going to be making apples. Why? That's a good question. Because the very DNA and nature of the tree only allows it to make apples. And that's the picture that Jesus uses of his followers. As followers of Jesus, all we can make is fruit that's like him. Even if we make mistakes, even if we mess up, even when we're broken, our fruit is still that of Christ, not evil. Now, sometimes I've known people who look at their lives and say, boy, all I see is bad fruit. Guys, if all you see is bad fruit, then maybe you need to make an assumption. You might be a bad tree. If all I ever see in my life is olives, then I should not make the assumption I'm an apple tree. And that's really sobering. And it's really hard to wrap our brains fully around because we see this idea of bad fruit in so many different ways. No matter how many times I tell myself that and understand and look at the passage and see that a tree is known by its own kind of fruit, apple trees by apples and olives, olive trees by olives. No matter how many times I tell myself that, no matter how well I know that and understand that, when I see unlike Christ fruits in my life, results of my actions or results of the core of who I am, whether it's motives, whether it's words, whether it's actions, whether it's desires, whatever it is, I look at that and I tell myself, it's not like Jesus. What's wrong? And that weighs heavy on me. When I'm not like Christ the way that I want to be, the way I know I should be. And so what do I do in those moments? What do you do in those moments? We need to take a step back. And we need to recognize that this isn't just about us, okay? It's not about me and whether my actions are always good or always bad. It's about Jesus and whether our trust is in him. But when it is, he starts to change us at the core of who we are. And at the core of who we are, when we begin to get changed, our fruit changes. And that's what we want to see. We had a conversation with the youth group just a couple weeks ago about seeing growth in the midst of your own failures. And if you look at Psalm chapter 51, that's after David has been with Bathsheba, Nathan has come and confronted him, and then he repents, and he changes, and he says to God, God, you don't want me to give you sacrifices and offerings. That's not what you're looking for. You want my heart to be humbled and broken before you. And when that sort of change happens, even in the midst of our own failures, there is growth. And we can mark growth and we can see growth. And so what we have here, we have no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes from a bramble bush. Now the good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of the evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Your mouth speaking is very much tied to the first part of James 3 that we were talking about these last couple weeks. Your mouth, being an untamed thing, speaks out of the core of who you are. So let's take a look at the verse before that and see what Jesus gives us as a solution, partial solution, to the problem. He says, the good person out of the good treasure, yada, 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 and the bad person out of the evil treasure, yada, yada, yada. That's sort of how we read it. I know that sounds flippant. I'm being a little glib with the Bible is what it feels like, but I'm not intending to be. But that's how we read it. We read the first part. We sort of know what's going to be said, so we just sort of skip over it with our eyes, go to the next part, realize we already sort of know this, so we skip over it with our eyes, and we don't pay attention to what it says. The good person, verse 45, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. Where's the focus? The focus is on the heart of the person. Now, the evil person, out of the evil stored up or treasured in his heart, produces evil. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24, Jesus is going to say, or says already, that you should lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven versus treasures on earth. Treasure the things of heaven. Do not treasure the things of earth. You cannot serve God and money. You have to choose one. That's the basic idea. That's what's being said here. If you treasure up good in your heart, good will come out. If you treasure up evil in your heart, evil will come out. So how do you treasure up good? That's really the question. That's really the question out of this passage. If we are going to show good, how do we treasure it? How do we store it up? How do we make it the valuable thing in our hearts versus storing up, treasuring, making valuable the things that are evil? I don't know about you, but I do know about me. And I know the things that work in my life, and they've been consistent as we've worked with people. As I've talked with the elders and they've worked with people, it's consistent in what we see in the scriptures, and that is this. If you ignore the scriptures, you cannot be storing up good in your heart. If you have no desire to read them, no desire to pay attention to them, no desire to learn them, no desire to be like them, you are not storing up good. For that's where good is taught. That's where good is revealed and explained. The very first thing we need to do if we want to store up good in our hearts or treasure up good is to treasure that which is good. Make the Bible an important part of your life. Some of you say, I don't have time to sit and read. Great, there are apps for that. You can listen to it. Free ones. You can download a Bible app and you can read it or you can listen to it, either way. But it's not just about reading and hearing the Bible. It's about valuing the things that the Bible values. Valuing Christ as preeminent above everything else. When you treasure Him above everything else, above your own life, your own sin, your own desires, your own money, your own family, your own time, your own whatevers, when you value him above all of that, good gets stored in you. Why? Because you're focused on following, meditating on that which is good. Most of us have a thing in our house called a TV. In fact, I don't know anybody who doesn't have a TV in their house. I know people who don't watch TV a whole lot, but they either have a TV on a TV, or you could have a TV on your computer screen, right? All sorts of ways to get TV now. Most of what's there, not actually good, right? I think we can all agree to that. Now, this is not a you can't watch TV sort of moment, but it's a pay close attention to what you're doing while you watch TV moment. If you are entertained by the evil that is in TV, it will influence you on untold levels. If, on the other hand, you can look at something, watch something, and recognize evil in it, not being entertained by that evil, but learning the opposite of that evil, then maybe watching whatever it is you're watching is valuable. Now, recognize that I just gave you an out because I had to, because it's true, but do not overplay that. Most of what's on TV, most of what you can watch is intended to entertain you with evil. That's its intent. And if you watch and are then entertained by evil, you are not and cannot be, in that moment, treasuring up good in your heart. And you'll find that words come out of your mouth, ideas pop in your head, actions are performed before you really recognize what you're doing or saying or thinking. But that which you put in you, good or bad, will present itself in your actions, in your life, to the people around you. Because a tree can only bear the kind of fruit that it is. Jesus finishes it with this. He says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That your mouth just overflows with what's already inside of you, okay? So as a final word of caution from Jesus, before we see his final command on this, as a final word of caution from him, recognize that if you cannot control what you're saying, it's because what's inside of you is so overflowing with something that is in intention or the antithesis of Christ, that there's not much you can do about it other than ask him to change what's inside. And he finishes this passage, which is really the first verse of most Bible's next section, but fits so much with this. He finishes it by saying, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Why? Why do you call me your Lord? Why do you stand before me as though I'm your master and you don't listen to me? Kids have that problem on earth with their parents, right? You recognize, and I recognized, that my dad or me for my kids is the one in control, yet we don't want to listen to them. Right? We know they're the authority, but we don't listen. Now, as adults, it just looks different. Oh, the IRS has rules? I don't really want to follow them. Oh, the law says this? Meh. I'm going to do what I want to do. And that's sort of how we act. Jesus tells us to do something and then asks us, why in the world would you not do it? I've just told you, he says, about a good tree and a bad tree. And I'm giving you the choice to be whichever one you want, but realize that whichever actions you perform is the kind of tree you're showing yourself to be. So why in the world would you call me Lord, Lord, submit yourself to me, pretend to submit yourself to me, and then not do what I tell you? I tell you to treasure what's good, not what's evil. I tell you to be focused on me, not entertained by what's the opposite of me. Why would you do something different? So let's ask a question of us. Are we willing to follow him? Truly, really follow him? Then in a TV age, ask yourself this one question. If the answer to the first question is yes, I want to and am willing to follow him, then the second question becomes pertinent. Is what you watch, whether it's YouTube, Netflix, Amazon, TV, whatever else, is it showing you Christ? And if it's not, spend 1 week not watching it. That would include, but not be limited to, CNN, Fox News, ESPN. I don't even know what other stations there are. Fox, ABC, NBC. You can't even watch football games without watching commercials, if you're watching the commercials, that are not honoring to Jesus. Commercials I don't want my kids seeing, yet somehow it's okay for me to watch because my filter is so much. No, it is not better. It should be, but I am a broken person. If what's on TV, if the answer to the first question is yes, I want to honor Jesus, and the answer to the second question is what I'm watching is not, then friends, just stop for 1 week. See if your heart desires Christ more after that week, because it will. Your life may get harder. Satan may bombard you with temptations, may try to make your life miserable, but your heart will want Jesus because you've stopped infiltrating it with garbage. And once you start, it is really hard to recognize how much its influence has on you. So whatever it is, even if it's what you listen to, if it's not honoring Jesus, for 1 week just stop. Because what you treasure in your heart is what will come out, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you again, Father, for your Son, for the opportunity to know you, to follow you. Thank you, Lord, for thank you for giving us the opportunity to be to have our lives saved by you. God, I ask that you would be working mightily in our hearts, and that we would recognize that, and that when you work in our hearts, you would strengthen us to follow you. Bring your Son honor and glory in our hearts this day and this week. We do love you. Amen.